CD 4.
Thursday. There was a newcomer in the village. New people were always a source of interest and speculation among the them. It didn't matter what the four had called their gang over the years, the frequent name changes usually being prompted by whatever Adam had happened to have read or viewed the previous day. The Adam Young Squad, Adam and Co., the Hole in the Chalk Gang, the really well-known Four, the Legion of Really Superheroes, the Quarry Gang, the Secret Four, the Justice Society of Tadfield, the Galaxitrons, the Four Just Persons, the Rebels. Everyone else always referred to them darkly as them, and eventually they did too. But this time, Pepper had impressive news. "She's moved to Jasmine Cottage, and she's a witch," she said. "I know, because Mrs. Henderson does the cleaning, and she told my mother she gets a witch's newspaper. She gets loads of ordinary newspapers too, but she gets this special witch's one." "My father says there's no such thing as witches," said Wensleydale, who had fair wavy hair and peered seriously out at life through thick black-rimmed spectacles. It was widely believed that he had once been christened Jeremy, but no one ever used the name, not even his parents, who called him Youngster. They did this in the subconscious hope that he might take the hint. Wensleydale gave the impression of having been born with a mental age of 47. "Don't see why not," said Brian, who had a wide, cheerful face under an apparently permanent layer of grime. "I don't see why witches shouldn't have their own newspaper, with stories about all the latest spells and that. My father gets Angler's Mail, and I bet there's more witches than anglers." "It's called Psychic News," volunteered Pepper. "That's not witches," said Wensleydale. "My aunt has that. That's just spoon-bending and fortune-telling, and people thinking they were Queen Elizabeth I in another life." "There's no witches any more, actually. People invented medicines and that and told them they didn't need them any more and started burning them." "It could have pictures of frogs and things," said Brian, who was reluctant to let a good idea go to waste, and road tests of broomsticks and a cat's column." "Anyway, your aunt could be a witch," said Pepper. "In secret, she could be your aunt all day and go witching at night." "Not my aunt," said Wensleydale darkly. "And recipes," said Brian. "New uses for leftover toad." "Oh, shut up," said Pepper. Brian snorted. If it had been Wensley who had said that, there'd have been a half-hearted scuffle, as between friends. But the other them had long ago learned that Pepper did not consider herself bound by the informal conventions of brotherly scuffles. She could kick and bite with astonishing physiological accuracy for a girl of 11. Besides, at 11 years old, the them were beginning to be bothered by the dim conception that laying hands on good old Pep moved things into blood-thumping categories they weren't entirely at home with yet, besides earning you a snake-fast blow that would have floored the Karate Kid. But she was good to have in your gang. They remembered with pride the time when Greasy Johnson and his gang had taunted them for playing with a girl. Pepper had erupted with a fury that had caused Greasy's mother to come round that evening and complain. Greasy Johnson was a sad and oversized child. There's one in every school, not exactly fat, but simply huge and wearing almost the same size clothes as his father. Paper tore under his tremendous fingers, pens shattered in his grip. Children whom he tried to play with in quiet, friendly games ended up getting under his huge feet, and Greasy Johnson had become a bully almost in self-defense. After all, it was better to be called a bully, which at least implied some sort of control and desire, than to be called a big clumsy oaf. He was the despair of the sportsmaster, because if Greasy Johnson had taken the slightest interest in sport, then the school could have been champions. But Greasy Johnson had never found a sport that suited him. He was instead secretly devoted to his collection of tropical fish, which won him prizes. Greasy Johnson was the same age as Adam Young, to within a few hours, and his parents had never told him he was adopted. See? You were right about the babies. Pepper looked upon him, a giant male, as a natural enemy. She herself had short red hair and a face which was not so much freckled as one big freckle with occasional areas of skin. Pepper's given first names were Pippin, Galadriel, Moonchild. She had been given them in a naming ceremony in a muddy valley field that contained 3 sick sheep and a number of leaky polythene teepees. Her mother had chosen the Welsh valley of Pantygyr.